It's good to be back. It's good to see all of you. I wish we had more opportunity to see each other and to speak one to another. We must try and make occasion to meet and to speak. Yesterday, the Lord gave me a safe trip from Bandung. On Friday, we had a public seminar. And I thought it was a public holiday in Bandung, in Indonesia. But they said, no, it's a working day. So I was pleasantly surprised when 250 people came, and I heard some of them had come taking a day off. I say it's good. It is good when working people take a day off just to come and hear the word of God. The Lord enabled me to speak on life in the Spirit. What it is to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and begin a new work. And I spoke to the people simply from the word of God. I said, I'm going to say things which some of you may not agree with. Some of you may be offended. But I promise you one thing, I'll speak only the truth from God's word. And if you agree to that, then these are the rules. Always the word of God. Only the word of God. Nothing else. Don't add, don't subtract. So at the end of the day, we parted friends. Yes, they all asked for another visit. Come again. Even the Roman Catholics, they said, well, what he spoke was true. We can't deny it. And the charismatics, they were enlightened that many of their practices and beliefs are in error. And perhaps they had never heard of it before, but for the first time. So thank God for the opportunity to speak the word of God gently, graciously, and that the word may remain and Christians may be encouraged and strengthened in most holy faith. So if you can remember, pray for a group of Christians in Bandung. Now what shall we speak this morning on the topic standing alone? And for that, would you please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Standing alone. Now I must ask you to allow me to call upon our brother Pang Kok Hiong. I just caught him at the corner of my eye. Now, we all have been praying for him, so if you allow me to just interrupt my own sermon for a moment and ask Kok Hiong to come and say a few words. You know, we think of him, we pray for him, and now that's him. Please, Kok Hiong, come and say something about his work in Saipan, the back door to China, and you watch the clock. 5 minutes.
It's good to be back. I won't speak too long. Yes, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And we continue to serve the Lord in Saipan. Thank God for the past 4 years. First of all, I want to thank God for this opportunity to send out our family there already 4 years and 3 months. And also thank the Lord for Calvary to support us all these years. And even we told the church, the session, that because of our work, we may implicate the church in future. But still, I met with the board of elders and the CMF, Goto and the elders and pastors say that to me, that more so they will stand behind me and will support me. I'm very grateful for this, because I'm reaching out to the Chinese, and this make us in a very difficult situation. And since January, we face a lot of difficulties. For the past 4 years, we have baptized nearly 400. Among them, 300 plus have gone back to China. Almost half of the provinces, and 20 over them of them have started house churches and become leaders. About 20 over them, they are serving the Lord full time. The others 100 over them are fitting very well in the house churches. And last year I went there to visit all of them, and through them I met with many house churches leaders, and I baptized 4 times, altogether 256. One time, even at one house church, I baptized at one go, 4 hours, 165. And in Saipan alone, last year we baptized 130. And this Easter, we just baptized 21, and another 38 signing up for July. And we almost like one conversion every 3 days. So a lot of work to be done, and we thank God that the Holy Spirit is working mightily in Saipan and even in China. But among the 20 who served the Lord full-time, 2 were arrested in February and March. And they told me, the believers told me in secret that please do not come in anymore because of our converts who had gone back have made a stir in China in many parts. And we just pray that we continue to serve. After Awana, we are going back to Saipan again and to continue our work. What we ask is, please continue to pray for us. And we will even do more to concentrate in Saipan and to establish more training for the converts. And we have just chosen about 23 to give them more solid training, like Bible college training, to send them back. They want it. Even after overtime every night, they'll come to church 9:30, 10 o'clock to receive the word of God until midnight. Then we send them back. Even they go back, they'll do homework until 3, 4 a.m. 7 or 8, they go back to work again. So, because they are there only for 2 years or 3 years, they treasure the time. And once they go back, they may not have any opportunity like that. So treasure the time in Saipan. And also please pray for us that we may have no fear, and by faith that the Lord will help us to continue to reach out to these people. And I think the Lord is coming very, very soon. Now we have a lot of freedom, but we may not have it. So just continue to pray for us. And thank you again, and we covered your prayer. And thank you very much.
We pray. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy servant Pang Kok Hiong, and for using him in the past 4 years in Saipan and in China. Lord, we thank thee for saving those workers in the face of threat to their safety, in the face of possible arrest and persecution in China. Lord, I commit this work to thee. Give us the wisdom to know how we ought to press on with this great work of soul saving. What should we do in the island of Saipan. What ought to be done in the great land of China? Lord, we know that Thou art supreme over all, and Thou canst overrule as well as protect and defend Thy people. So Lord, grant the wisdom, grant us the vision, and send more workers, Lord. Those who know the language, those who can help, those who can see the futility of this world and this present life, Lord, call such as should be part of the team to come, to volunteer and to join and be part of the team in Saipan, to train, to produce materials, to serve. Lord, may Thy work go on from strength to strength. We give Thee all praise, thanks, and glory, and may Thou guard over Kok Hyung, Kwek Mui, and the two boys, as they will be serving Thee in the future in Saipan. And when Thou wouldst open the door back in China, O Lord, may Thou be very gracious to them. We thank Thee. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. First Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them whom you have killed, by tomorrow about this time. And when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat or that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God bless this reading of his own holy, sacred, infallible word. May I request you to think on the theme, standing alone. Who likes to stand alone? Oh, most of us would not choose to, but here is a man standing alone. Dear friends, let us at the very opening assure you this. Standing alone for God is not alone. For God never forsakes his own. Remember our Lord Jesus said to the disciples, and I say he says to us today, lo, I am with you, always, even unto the end of the world. And this is a precious promise that we must always appropriate to ourselves. Whatever the circumstances, when I am down, when I am discouraged, I remember the Lord said, I am with you. So if you are standing alone today, for whatever reason, you have to stand alone for the testimony of your Christian faith, I say, you are not alone. The Lord Almighty, he is with you. And in this case, and in all cases, you know this, God never leaves himself without a witness and a remnant. No matter how few they are, and no matter how isolated you may feel you are, there is always a remnant of more people who believe, who stand on the truth, and stand alone also in their situations. I say, praise the Lord for that. You never are alone. The Lord is great. God's man in today's story is Elijah. We know him, the prophet of fire, the hero on Mount Carmel. See Elijah on Mount Carmel. There are two mountains. One is Carmel, the other is Horeb. On Mount Carmel there was one man, Elijah, standing against 450 Baal priests and another 400 priests of the grove. And then an apostate king called Ahab. And then all Israel by the side, watching the contest. Elijah stood alone against all the rest. Dear friends, let us always remember, God does not work by majority or by numbers. And this is the problem with the church today. The church today is veering and being swept into this great current of majority rule. People power. No, friends. God power. God works by God power, not by people power. God works by obedient men. God works by obedient women. If you want to be used by God, obey. He can use you, no matter how weak and how insignificant you are. God can come onto you, into you, by his Spirit, as we spoke in Bandung. Life in the Spirit, what it means. Earthen vessels such as we are, useless people, until the Spirit of God comes into you, gives you life, quickens you, changes you, indwells you, fills you. Suddenly you find you can do things you never thought you could. God can use us. So I say, one man with God is victory. One man with God is victory. We don't need numbers. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Remember that. Some trust in horses, some in chariots, some in numbers, some in great men, big names. That's the way of the world. Or else we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He is our refuge. He is our strong tower. He is our victory. Dear friends, We are here in this church for that purpose. We're not here to increase numbers. We're not here to encourage you to increase in numbers and to rely on numbers. Oh, that would be futile. Now let's see. Elijah on the run. Change of scene. Carmel is behind. Horeb. And there is a man. The same man. The same man who stood on Mount Carmel is now in a cave. Become a caveman. What a difference. Elijah, fearless, is now a fugitive, frightened, despairing, taking refuge in a cave. Escaping from what? Escaping from a woman, Jezebel, who sent a messenger, say, I'm going to kill you, and he fled for his life. You know, this opens to us a side of the character of Elijah, which we may not know except for this incident. And James tells us in the book, he says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a human man. He was not superhuman. He was subject to fears and anxieties, even to panic, that he could run simply because a woman was threatening. And now we see him in a cave hiding for his life. Now, God never forgets his own. And I say to all of you here, if you are a believer, a child of God, and sometimes you feel, well, my God has forgotten me. I've sinned so much, he must have forgotten me. He's forsaken me. I say, no. If you are a child of God, even though you're panicking and running, there God remembers you. In the hour of need and despair, God comes to you. In an amazing way, God came to Elijah. And God will come to us all if we look to him. In his distress, Elijah fled, but we can never flee far enough to be out of reach of God, you know. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, says the psalmist? Where can I go or flee from thy presence that I will be out of sight of God? Impossible. God is with you. God knows where you are. So, here we see. In the cave, God comes to him and speaks to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? I think we can sense a note of reproof, can't you? Oh, Elijah, you've done so well. And I helped you to confront and to overcome those 850 priests. Now, what are you doing here? Surely you're made of better stuff than that. All his nerves of steel had gone. And now he was trembling. In Elijah's despair, God comes to his help. In Elijah's despair, he speaks words of rather great folly in a way. Let's look at verse 10 for a while. Let's look, see what he has got to say. When God asked him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. Lord, what can I do? There's no one on my side. Only I. Oh, dear friends. Not so. Not so. We want to see and recall his despair as he sat under the juniper tree. A juniper tree is a very beautiful tree. But here is a man exhausted and dispirited. Let's look at verse 4 again to study the thoughts of this man. And I dare say that some of us go through the same thoughts, you know. How often have we not said to God, "Oh God, I cannot take it anymore. I wish you would take my life and take me to heaven." I've heard this many, many times from many people. I wish God would take me to heaven. I wish I could die now. But it is not so simple. Verse 4 says, he sat down under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. Life is not worth living anymore. Why should I be running away from a woman? And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." So in the cave, he thought he was all alone. What can I do? Now God speaks to him. Verse 11. First, God sent a wind. What kind of wind have you experienced? I dare say that in Singapore, we seldom experience a wind more than 30 or 40 miles an hour. And then trees are blown down, and we read in the newspapers there's all these things happening. But I read in the Hilltop journal from Manila, they said they had a super typhoon. Winds of 160 miles an hour swept through the hilltop, and many trees broke and came crashing down. Now that super typhoon. But none of the brickwork or the marble building was cracked or blown down. Nothing. Now look at this one, verse 11. It says, a great and strong wind rent the mountains, broke in pieces the rocks. Now that must have been a super typhoon. What speed, I don't know. Maybe 500 miles an hour or more. But so strong, the rock broke into two. Now man will think, if only we have some machine that gives great wind, physical force, God must manifest his power to us in great force, isn't it? No. It says here, God was not in the wind. Then God sent an earthquake. Things began to shake. Then we think, surely God must be in this great shaking movement. You know, many Christians today are mistaken because they can fall down, slain in the spirit. They say, well, God must be here. That must be Holy Spirit. When there is great crowds, big meetings, rallies, and they say, this is Holy Spirit renewal movement. And when they can all stand on their seats and 35 people in New Orleans shouted at the top of the voice, they say, we'll shout and the power of Satan will be broken in America. They said, no friends, it's not by power of shouting, not by earthquakes, not by great winds, not by physical power. So the earthquake came and the fire came, and it says, God was not in the fire, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the wind. God came finally, a small voice. Dear friends, do you listen to God's small voice every morning? Do you keep that special appointment reading the Word of God, praying for enlightenment? Lord, speak to me in the quietness of the morning. Long before people rush off to work, long before the day begins, get on to your knees and pray, and there you're going to hear the still small voice of God. This is what we ought to each one concentrate on, and not to say, well, I had a voice speak to me last night as I was sleeping. I saw a vision and I had a new revelation. Dear friends, it is not the way. God has given us this inspired, complete revelation of his will, and his word is given to us forever settled in heaven. But we must come, and God will speak to us by his still small voice even today. He will enlighten you, young people at the crossroads of life, all the people facing the end of life, where is your confidence? Where is your direction? I say, we have no other confidence. We have no other direction than this still small voice of God who speaks to us quietly as you read. You say, how can I understand? I ask you, how can you understand? How do you think you can understand? Oh, dear friends, it is the greatest folly today for groups to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, I had a vision last night. I have a new word of knowledge. I have a new word of wisdom. Listen! And then they say what they had received last night. I say, here it is. So the still small voice is still available to you and me. Only we must come to the place, the secret place, the Lord says, not in the big crowds if you want to hear God speak to you. Go to your secret chamber. Do you have a secret chamber? Your room, bedroom, study room. Shut the door. Take the phone off the hook. Shut off your handphone, your pager, shut it off. Take out the straight times. Keep yourself attention before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. You spoke to Elijah with a still small voice. Won't you speak to me today? I have a problem. I have a decision to make. I don't know what to do. Lord, speak to me. You read the Bible. How do you read the Bible? We've given you RPG to help you. Do you have a better method? Read it. Use it. But read the Word of God. If you don't have a method, use RPG. Read, pray, grow. And there, every day, day by day, God speaks to you in a still small voice. So God came to Elijah in the cave, the God of all power, and when he comes to you, you will not be afraid of anything or anybody. No, when you have the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the great Creator, the one who died and rose again as your Savior, your Lord, fear him, dear friends, fear him. Remember him every day. Or if you fear him, you need fear nobody else. And this is a great strengthener and great encouragement for today. For we live in perilous times. And as our brother said, the days wherein we have freedom to preach and to hear the gospel are numbered, are limited. But before that day, let us be forewarned and forearmed that we all will put our complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen, coming Lord and Savior. You put your faith, your trust, and all your hope and your security in him. I say you need fear nobody else. If you need fear nothing else. So here what it was. God came to Elijah and spoke to him, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. If we want to do God's work, we must rely on his spirit. We must not rely on ourselves. The Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. Oh yes, with yourself, you can do nothing. But with me, with the Spirit of God in you, you can do many things for him. So Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the earthen vessel? That's me, that's you. This body is worth nothing. The moment the breath leaves you, you become an earthen vessel, you rot and go back to the earth. But while we live, God gives us his gospel. God gives us his spirit, the word of God in us. And then we have treasure, we have power in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power is not of us, but of God. He can use you. And he can make you into an Elijah, useful for him. Today I want to give you this analysis. Analysis of the situation today. We are back to the days of Elijah, when there are Christians who forsake the covenant, who burn down the altars of the Lord, who give themselves over to the worship of Baal, and go on to build a world church today. This is afoot. Something that is moving very fast. What is moving? The spirit of Baal or Baal. What is Baal? this great idol god that the Israelites fell into worshipping. Can you imagine it? Israelites, God's people, saved out of Egypt by a great and mighty hand of God, and God showed them all the miracles. His wonder-working power brought them to the promised land, and there in the land they began to worship idols. How awful, you say, how awful. And this is the trend today. In the Church of Jesus Christ, great movement of people is working towards the setting up of Baal altars for idol worship in the day to come. In May last year, that is 1 year ago, the 12th encyclical was issued from the Vatican. I want to quote for your benefit. You know, God's word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if those who know do not tell you, and you are in the dark, and when it comes, you know what the word of God says? Their blood will be upon my head. I have not told you that there are things going to happen that are going to worship, going to affect the way we worship, and shape up a new Christianity in the day to come, and I never told you. And when the thing comes, you're not prepared, and you get caught. You will say, why did not our pastor tell us so that we can be prepared? Now I'm telling you, so that hereafter, my responsibility is done, and that you are forewarned. You see, we live in a multi-religious, multicultural society, and we are very conscious that we have this Religious Harmony Act, and we are fully for the Religious Harmony Act. We think it is good that we do not stir things up. Having said that, I will tell you this, that this great movement of Baal worship that is coming in is the ecumenical movement. And the ecumenical movement is a worldwide movement, and it is prophetic, and nothing can stop it. And it is going to succeed very soon, possibly in 3 to 4 years' time, and all the churches will combine. Right? I speak a little slowly so that you can absorb, you see. The prediction is within 3 to 4 years, there will be a new kind of Christianity, and the churches will gather and become one world church. It may not exactly be year 2000, maybe one or two more years later, but around that time, it is the target. Many movements are converging towards it. So that by that time, all Christians will be united together. This is happening in many parts of the world already. It has not happened here on a large scale. Now listen. The 12th encyclical says that lack of unity among Christians contradicts the truth. I read this differently. Lack of unity because the Calvary Bible Presbyterian Church does not want to join the ecumenical movement and join the One World Church contradicts the truth. All right, now you understand the implication. And it gravely damages the Christian witness. This 12th encyclical goes on to say, to be divided and separated by unedifying quarrels is a serious reality which impedes the work of Christ. So I read it again. You Calvarians who keep on talking of the Reformation and all the quarrels of the Reformation, you are impeding the work of the gospel. Stop it. You follow? This is the implication. I said, dear friends, we can do nothing to stop the ecumenical movement. Then what are we talking about here today? I say, friends, while we cannot stop it, I say, I can tell you not to join it. That's all. Do we break the Religious Harmony Act? I say, no. I didn't say, take up arms and fight and don't join.
No. I say, fear not him who can harm your body and not your soul. This is what the Lord says. But fear him who can cast body and soul into eternal damnation in hell. Fear him. And who is him? I say, I fear the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can cast a person's soul and body into hell forever and lock him up there forever. I fear him. I say, do you? If you fear the Lord, you need fear nobody else. If you love the Lord and fear him and his holy commandment, and you keep out of the ecumenical movement, and the day comes when your life is threatened, I say, so be it. For my Lord says, fear not him who can touch your body but not your soul. I fear not. We pray for that kind of courage to stand. For the day is not far to go. 3 to 4 years. Listen. It says to stand in the way of this union movement is an offense against God and against his plan to gather all people together in Christ. Now, quoting further, this encyclical from the Vatican says, with power and authority, the Bishop of Rome must ensure the communion of all churches. Read again. With power and authority, which you cannot oppose. The Pope must ensure that all churches join. Now this is it. You see, if we say anything, who says it? What church? How many members? 300? 500? Oh, forget it. When the Bishop of Rome speaks, is it 1,000 million people speaking? 1,000 million. And now that voice is augmented by 500 to another 1,000 million of Protestants. They've forgotten their heritage. They've said, they've betrayed their heritage. And they say, we are going back to Rome. Now this is a trend. And all the evangelicals are saying, good. People led by Billy Graham, Bill Bright, and all the rest, John Stott, James Packer, all of them, all the others, I have not heard of any great evangelical who says, oh, these people are wrong. Nobody will say they are wrong. They'll say it's good. Today, we all must be loving. They're friends. Who's not loving? The Lord loved, but he was put to death, crucified. We love, but we love in truth. We speak the love. We speak the truth in love. Truth overrides love. And the love without truth is false love. True? Yes. The word of God is very clear on this. So, listen, it says, with power and authority, he will ensure the communion and union of all churches. Opinions now being circulated which oppose this are irreconcilable with the unity of faith. And so it goes on. The final bottom line is, churches unite, come together. You have no choice because the voice that speaks it has the weight of nearly 2,000 million people. Dear friends, these are perilous days. We read that passage. We know that passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Perilous times shall come. I say, perilous times have come. Perilous times are here. And Christians who do not know, they will be led like sheep to the slaughter. So, to remain apart is going to be offensive. Question. Will the faithful few in Calvary here in Pandan continue to stand? This is the question. Dear friends, when the time comes, I cannot stand for you, neither can you stand for me. But having heard the truth and having known the issues and the consequences and the price you have to pay, I say you have to stand. I say God help you to stand. God answers Elijah. And I say God answers us today. There was Elijah in the cave, despairing and looking at himself. Poor me. Oh, how sad I am. I'm all alone. God says, no, Elijah, you're not alone. You're not. You're badly mistaken. I said, if you think that joining Calvary Pandan, you're really isolated with a bunch of stupid people and you're so alone. I said, dear friends, listen, listen. Verse 18. Listen. Here God speaks to us. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed Baal, and this is Israel, there's still Judah. How many more thousands, we do not know. But, dear friends, the message to us is this. Even in the darkest day of apostasy, God will preserve for himself a remnant. Right? Not just the Bible Presbyterian Church. In fact, the word Bible Presbyterian Church today doesn't carry much weight, you know. Because so many Bible Presbyterians have fallen away into the new evangelical stream and gone liberal. Alright, that is the trend. So the Lord says, don't be discouraged. I have others, remnant people, who stand like you. Non-Bible Presbyterians, there are in Singapore. Other groups are standing. Other Christians are standing. So don't be discouraged. Friends, we are not alone. We are not alone. Then, see Elijah under the juniper tree. I like to see that vision of him. Lying there and say, Lord, is enough, is enough. Take my life. Let me die. Let me die. God answered the prayer, you know. God answered the prayer. You want to come to be with me? God had a better way. Whereas Elijah might have been thinking of some kind of death. God took him. The wonderful, wonderful translation. Elijah, you are great. You are a good servant. I know your heart. Even though you are so discouraged and running away, I have something wonderful. You do not deserve it, but I'm going to demonstrate my great power on Elijah. And God took Elijah. One day in broad daylight, God sent chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah was taken up. Suddenly in broad daylight, translated. And he went to be with God. I say, friends, if you are discouraged, go and lie under a juniper tree. Yes. And you can pray your prayer to God. Say, God, take me, God, take me. You know, we are living in an age when there is every possibility, no, every probability, no. I almost say this. Every certainty, right now, every certainty that in our lifetime, I do believe the Lord is coming. And in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord himself shall descend, and all who are waiting for him, discouraged under the juniper tree, suddenly you will be taken, transformed, to be with him forever and ever. I then say goodbye to the ecumenical movement. Dear friends, your future, your security is not on earth. For the ecumenical movement is on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20 and 21. These are my mainstay for working for the Lord, you know. Philippians 3:20 and 21. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who promised that he will come. And I believe every promise of his is true. Faithful. Amen. My citizenship is, in Singapore, yes, but also in heaven. And from there, I look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come and what? Do the same work as he did on Elijah. Change me. Take me. By the power that raised Jesus from the dead, he will transform you and me. Now, this is promise, you know, promise. Dear friends, let's keep on pressing on, standing fast, holding fast, knowing for sure our Lord who promised is also able to fulfill that promise for you and for me. But until then, stand. Let us pray. Lord, teach us the lesson of standing alone, even as Elijah stood alone on Mount Carmel. And even though he was dispirited in Mount Horeb, may thou speak to us that none here may be dispirited and discouraged. We may know the one who promised is the one who lives forevermore, the one who is about to come on earth. Lord, may our hopes and our security be entirely put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he comes,
there shall be no regret. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.